The four stages of faith. Follow with me now as I read in the Amplified Version, Romans 12 and 3. Romans 12, 3. For by grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Everybody say sound judgment. As God has apportioned to each a degree of faith. Apportioned is a big word there. And degree is a big word for us to look at. Of faith and a purpose designed for service. You see, I think a lot of times people get to the point of forgetting what their purpose of service is. You know, that happens. It's not an abnormal thing in church labor, church co-laboring, coexisting in churches, whatever terminology you want to use there, serving in the kingdom of God. People look over the fence and they think they could do better doing somebody else's position. And this isn't about position. It's not about trying to be competitive. It's about knowing that God has apportioned, has given you a portion of who He is in your life personally. God has done that because He loves you. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It's a gift from God that He's given you. He's apportioned you faith. And He's given you a measure or a degree of faith. There's this measure of faith that you and I have, or we began our walk with God with. And that is there to allow us to know what is the purpose designed by God for us to serve in His kingdom. I really want you to embrace what I just said because God has designed your destiny. God has designed you. He knows everything about you. As a matter of fact, He knows all about your yesterdays. Well, of course, so do I. But He designed the yesterdays. He knows exactly where you are this very moment. As a matter of fact, He knows what you're thinking right now. That's why the Bible is very clear to take every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. Every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. He knows what today is going to be like for you all the way through. Whether it's joyful or whether it's a battle, He knows. And here's the key. He's given you faith to get through. He's given you that faith to believe that He is God. And that He can take care of everything. He knows what your tomorrow is. He knows the length and the breadth of your days. Psalm 90:12, David is saying, show me the brevity of my life. The quantity of my life. I want to know what the quantity is so I can make the quality as best as I can. That's what God wants for us. And so we have to see that. And as we move into this message, we see that faith grows. It really does. It comes into your life. I heard one great preacher say one time in a message that I was listening to, and watching this years ago back in the 80s, he said, you know, you get a thimble full of faith from God, and it's up to you to make it a bucket full, a wheelbarrow full, and even a dump truck full of faith. But you have to exercise your faith to get it there. Exercising your faith is not saying nothing and doing nothing. Exercise your faith is speaking things that you know are right and acting upon what God's Word says your destiny is. Are you with me? It's so important. If faith is nourished through and by belief that God will hear and respond. I believe God hears prayer. I believe He responds to prayer. Now, will He respond instantaneously? No. Will He answer exactly the way you want Him to? No. Is God always on time? Yes. And is His wisdom better than men's? Yes. So whatever He responds like, it is His will for your life. That's faith. That's faith. We live in a society today that says that we can go to God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So we want to take that prayer and we want to manipulate God with it. We forget it opens by saying, thy will be done. Thy will. God is not, and I don't even like saying this, but I'm going to be descriptive. God is not a sugar daddy. He is God. Oh, please hear me. He is God. He's all powerful, all knowing, and ever present. He knows what's best for us. Just like you know what's best for your children. He knows what's best. Amen. Just like you may say, I really will hope my child does this in life. I pray for this. God says, I hope my child does this in life because I've set this destiny for them. But there's a choice that we make, and oftentimes we choose not to live or move or to speak by faith, but only to live and move and to speak what we see. You need to know and understand that there's a part of you that is so God that that part wants to follow God, and the warfare that goes on in your life is the fact that it's the wrestling between what you want and what God wants. Surrender to God. Let God just do what He does in your life, because the outcome, it may be painful through the process, but the outcome is going to be a most beautiful picture drawn than the outcome if you want to manipulate God to bring something else into your life. It's so important we understand. It will grow when you obey what the Lord states to do. Don't argue with God. You can never win if you argue with God. Shakespeare said it like this. If you're going to argue with God, I want to give you this analogy. You're going to have a stubby pencil with a worn tip, and the eraser is gone. And you're going to argue against the man who owns the paper mill, the printing press industry, and all the barrels of ink that have ever been produced in the world. Listen to God, obey God, no matter what He says for you to do. I believe the Bible is very clear to try the spirits. To make sure the enemy of our soul is not trying to get in there. And he, the doorway into your heart by the enemy, or into your mind if you want to go that direction, either way it's fine, is because of a lack of prayer in your life. A lack of being in the Word. A lack of speaking faith. A lack of compassion for the lost. The enemy kind of gets in there. He looks for those weak points, those open doors that happen because of a lack of prayer, a lack of faith, a lack of being in the Word, and a lack of compassion. And he starts to speak things that sound like God. Be careful. Live by faith, move in faith, and declare faith. Pray every day. Read the Word every day. Care about the lost every day. Have compassion for the lost. And speak faith. Speak it like you really mean it. You know, I gave my granddaughter a Snickers bar yesterday. Somebody gave me the Snickers bar, and I just paid it forward to her. I mean, well, listen, I like Snickers. It wasn't like I was just trying to get rid of a candy bar. I like Snickers. But she looked so cute. And I handed her that Snickers, and she just grabbed that Snickers, and she got the brightest face and the biggest smile on her face. And she said, "Thank you, Poppy." It's her first Snicker bar ever. Ever. Of course, her dad said, "Here, let me have it. You can't have all that right now. You'll be climbing the walls." But let me tell you something. That's what God wants to do. He wants to give us something that we've never had before. But he wants to give it to us little by little so we won't get climbing the walls and miss God and what he wants for our life. Amen. Are you with me? Can I preach a little bit? It grows when you live by faith, not by sight. What you see right now that's troubling you is not God's plan for your life. He'll use what's going on in your life to draw you closer to him and to strengthen your character, to make the darkest hour of your life become the brightest day of your life someday. Don't live by what you see. Live by what you know God has spoken. Boy, I tell you, it's awful quiet today. I'm either preaching so good that you guys are all slayed in the Holy Ghost right now or something. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Again, don't live by what you see. Live by what God states. Amen. Amen. The enemy loves to throw you under the bridge. Throw you under the tires, wants to throw you under the bus, wants to dictate to you negativity. But God wants you to live a positive life, speaking the positive things of the Word and declaring faith wherever you go. Amen. Amen. How many realize that this world is very negative? Amen. TV is negative. Amen. People are negative. The government's negative. God's positive. Amen. And if God's in you, he wants you to speak through. He wants to speak through you those positive things that'll make a difference in your life. Yes. Amen. A difference in your future. He wants a difference in this church. A difference in your home. God wants to be God in your life. Faith grows when you live by faith, not by sight. Amen. When you see a flower and it's drooping a little bit, you don't just look at it and say, "Oh, poor flower. Man, you're a poor looking flower." You look at your friend, you nudge your friend and say, "Is that the poorest looking flower you've ever seen? I mean, look at how droopy that flower is." Boy, that's awful negative talk, isn't it? How about if you see a droopy flower and you go over there and you take some nice water and pour it on it? You give it a little fertilizer to make it grow, and all of a sudden you look at that flower an hour later and it's standing straight up and its petals are sticking up into heaven praising God. Let me tell you something. I think some of us get droopy at times. We need to speak the love of God into the life of somebody and let their hands begin to raise before a holy God in heaven like a flower in the sun, praising God and magnifying his name forevermore. Yeah. Let me take you now through a journey, if you would go with me. Exodus 14, verses 13 through 16. It's really an amazing story. Let me read this and I'll go backwards just a little bit and then we'll go forwards again. Exodus 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more." I left a word out, didn't I? For forever. You know, I think sometimes we forget that God's removed the enemy. He didn't do it just for the day or the moment. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb, and the enemy knows that. And he is separated from you forever. And as long as we'll look into the face of God through His Word, I know the Bible says if any man looks in the face of God, he shall not live. But I'm saying to you today, and that's why in Exodus 33, when Moses walked by him, he had to be put in the cleft, in the rock, into Jesus. And so when he walked by, God saw, he saw only the rearward part of God, the abundant goodness and kindness of God. But when we look at God's face through His Word, we don't see the enemy, we look on God. And the enemy's not going to come in into our homes and into our houses and into our businesses and into our relationships and destroy them. Because we're in the Word and we're speaking faith and we're believing God for all things. Amen. And the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Wow. God's going to fight my every battle. Every battle He fights for you. I know a lot of people today across this Christian body today that I'm in contact with. Not just here. I'm in contact with people all over the nation and throughout the world that are weary from battling because they've been fighting their own battle. God wants to fight your battle for you. He wants you to live in the shadow of His wings, in the anointing of your calling, and in the strength of the faith that He has placed in you that you have nourished to be able to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. I love the shield of faith because it quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. It goes along with the breastplate of righteousness, the loins with truth, the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit for all the saints. Are you with me if you read the Bible? You understand what I'm saying. That shield of faith quenches every fiery missile of the enemy. I like one Pentecostal preacher was preaching one time and he said, you know, some people don't understand what that means. When that fiery missile hits it, all I do is when I feel a dart come after me, I start pouring the water of the Spirit over it. I just start speaking in the heavenly language that God gave me over every dart, every missile, every penetrating thing that the enemy tries to do. It cannot get through the power of God because I have faith in God. He wants us to hold our peace and let God be glorified in everything that we do. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? This is the most outstanding scripture in the Old Testament to me. Now, let me give you the scenario. These folks are, if you can do anything in your mind by word pictures, I think word pictures, that's how I think. If you got mountains on either side, you got a dust storm behind you because of the chariots that are coming out of Egypt, coming to destroy you, because God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. You got the angel of the Lord at the shore. You got a group of people complaining that just got delivered a few days ago. Complaining, saying there are no graves in Egypt, so we were brought out here to die in the desert. But just a day or two before that, they were shouting victory. They were so glad to be out of slavery. And now they're up against an impossibility. But yet, Moses looks to God and God says, why do you cry to me? In other words, God is saying, haven't I not spoken to you? Move forward. I've spoken to you. Let's bring it down to earth a little bit. One of your children says something to you and he said, didn't I just tell you to do that? Why are you asking me again? I just said, clean your room. I just said you can't go to that dance. I just said you have to study. I just said you need to mow the lawn. I just said that you cannot be watching that stuff on television because it's negative. I just said what I just said. Did you hear me? That's what God is saying. You know this. Why are you saying? He said to me, gives him the instruction, tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Oh my gosh. God's asking him to do something that's difficult. It's out of our power. Lift up my rod and hold it over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, I mean, we're gonna touch on this in a few minutes. I just want you to get this basis in your spirit and in your heart and your mind, what God is saying to us today about having the right type of faith, not a negative faith, not a soft, jelly-like faith, but a faith that is a solid foundation that is founded in God's Word, and a faith that is God in our life. Now listen, they were 40 years in slavery. No. No, they were 4 years in slavery. No, they were 4 months in slavery. No, they were 4 days. They were 4 hours. They were 4 minutes. And they were 4 seconds. Well, they were, actually, in all those timelines. But really, they were 400 years in slavery. Getting whipped. Have you ever looked at the pyramids? I mean, that's one of the 7 wonders of the world. Have you ever seen a pyramid? Either by video or on TV. And seen how massive they are and how big they are. I always looked at the very tip of it. How did they get that big rock up there? And then I think about the Israelites. They brought it up there. They were whipped, starved, treated horribly for 400 years, but they never stopped believing God. Because God said to Moses at the burning bush, I have heard the cries of my people. He didn't say, I finally heard it. He didn't say, I just caught wind of something that's going on down there in Egypt. He said, I've heard the cries of my people. 400 years. Now I'll go through this list again. Not 40 years. Like they were traveling in the desert. 2 years before they rebelled against the promised land. And then another 38 years after that. Totaling 40. Not 4 years. Not 4 months or 4 days or 4 hours. See, I know people that go through a couple days of problems and they're just ready to give up on God. They're ready to give up on the promise that God gave them. Don't give the enemy ground. God's promises are a sure and steadfast and a surety for your soul. Have faith in the living God. 400 years and they continued to believe God. And when they marched out that day, they were weary. They were tired. They were worn out. They had lost family members in that time. They had gone through situations, children, illnesses, whipped, sleepless nights, difficult moments. As a matter of fact, Moses was born during those 400 years. Come on now. And there it was. They're walking out with all the spoils of Egypt. Point. Listen to this point and put it in your heart. It takes time for a character of faith to produce the miraculous. It takes time for the character of faith to be built up to produce the miraculous. I know we live in a microwave society. Press one, 1 minute. Press two, 2 minutes. Adjust your time, how fast you want it to be done. Press this button here for reheat, and you get pizza, soup, vegetables, and plate. Then you go down there and you press 1, 2, 3 for how many? 1 ounce, 16 ounces, 24 ounces, and you press and you hope. But with God, there's no microwaves. There's no in the oven cooking. It's God. Knowing the best time for your life and what He wants to do and what He has spoken to you. Has anybody ever prayed this prayer? Use me, God. When you prayed that prayer, God looked at you and said, okay. But now I know you better than you know you. So I'm going to have to take you through some things for me to be able to use you the way I want to use you. I want you to know this today, church, that God loves you. He loves this church. He loves the body of Christ. He loves everything about you. But there's a product that needs to be built up in you. The product of faith, which will cause the miraculous to be birthed. Amen? Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things. Now, I looked up all the other day, and the definition of all is all. Synonyms are everything. Throughout. All. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, who miraculously sets off that dunamis, that power in my life. I'm praying to the God who is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that I ask or think according to the power that worketh within me. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. The power that works within you. Church, the power that works within you is faith. And that faith is God and the Holy Ghost and dwells within you. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you are no longer your own, but ye have been bought with a price. Praise God. Faith. Trust. I can do all things. There's nothing that I cannot accomplish as long as it is according to God's will. His mercy, His grace, His everything in us. He loves His children. He loves His people. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, who came upon this earth and died a horrible death, which we celebrated. And then the resurrection, which we celebrated. The ascension soon. What I'm saying to you is that we have to understand that there is a way that we must think, a way that we must act, a way that we must believe, to where we can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Genesis 18:14 says something that I really like a lot. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. She was beyond childbearing age. He was beyond being able to produce a child with her. But God said, it can happen. Is everybody with me? Yes. Don't pull back on this. This is something that's going to help you in the near future and for the rest of your life. They couldn't see it. But God saw it. You may be in a place today, I don't know where you're at. I ask God, I don't want to know where they're at today, because I just want to be innocently preaching this into your life. You may be in a place right now saying that this can never happen for me. It's beyond. But God. But God. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter what it may look like, no matter what history you can draw from that would birth negative thoughts, but God. Abram laughed at God. Sarah laughed at God. But God. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This isn't possible. But God, through faith, all things are possible to whom believe. All things. You may not have a registry of the miraculous in your life yet, but you'll get there if you pay attention to this message today. By speaking faith and believing, you may have a registry of faith right now that is tarnished, and the index tips are broken off the cards, and so it's hard to find one or two or where they at. Don't give up. Your index cards may be lost because of troubles and trials and darkness and error. They're still there. But God, He sees your future. He can never help me. I've been down the road too far. I've done too many drugs. I've done too many evil things. I've committed too many crimes. I've been in prison too long. I've been in the streets too long. I've been divorced so many times I can't even count. Whatever it may be in your life, however it may be, and you all of a sudden think, this can never happen to me. But God! God could bring a Prince Charming in your life. God could make you the warden of the prison. God could make you the head of the DEA. That's the Drug Enforcement Agency, by the way. He could make you a crisis counselor to speak to addicts and drug-affected families that are going through crisis. He could have you become a leader of the greatest Celebrate Recovery in the United States of America. He could call you back into the streets whereby you were saved from, to go back out there and talk to the people that will hear your voice. And you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can be saved.
Amen.
He can make you a marriage counselor. Some of you are looking at me funny on that one. But yes, He can. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a personal statement. There's nothing too hard for God. So no matter what you're going through right now, you need to start to understand it's the faith that's going to bring you through. God has a purpose for your life. It is a great purpose. It's no menial purpose. It's a great purpose. You know, I'm 65 years old. Going to be 66 in a bit. Going to start collecting Social Security in a bit. But I'm not through. I don't act like I'm 65. I don't look like I'm 65. And I've got more energy than most 22-year-olds I know. I want to get things done. I believe God for His promises. He's told me things that were going to happen in my life and my wife's life. I know they're going to come about, and we're going to continue to march on like a mighty army, and we're going to see God do those things, because no matter what it looks like, it's not what God says it's like. Thank you for that in the background. Amen. Say it again. God sees your tomorrow. He sees your future. Let's go through this, the four stages of faith. Number one, the planting stage. the I believe, the conception or reception stage. That's where they were. They had received a planting stage in Egypt. They had received something, and they began to believe it. God's going to deliver us. God's going to help us. How do you know that? Because there's a guy by the name of Moses that's coming, has come into town, and he's declaring, "Let my people go. Let them go. They're my people." That's what God is saying. You don't have any right over them. God is saying to the devil that attacks your family, attacks you in your prayer life, attacks you in your daily walk with Him, that torments you by tormenting spirits. How many understand what I'm saying? Amen. They come and go as they please. Yes, but they have no power over you. And you can stand up against them and know that you believe.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You believe. Then there's the testing stage. 10 plagues. Darkness. Frogs. Fire. Hail. Lice. All the things you just want to happen every day in your life. All these things going on. And they're probably looking around saying, I mean, if God's really in this, they were probably worried about Moses a little bit. If God was really in this, why aren't we going anywhere? It's getting, wait a second, hear me now. Are you with me? It's getting worse, not getting better. The devil's getting angrier. He's becoming more upset and he's becoming more vengeful. His attacks are harsher. Where is God? This is the testing stage. And we say, how did I ever end up here? How did I get here? What am I doing here? You see, this is the cannot see this because you're in the physical stage, or physically you are in that area to where you're blinded because your faith is so low. You're going through this and you're starting to look at the problems and the fears and the doubts and the worries and the frustrations. You're like Peter stepping off the boat. You had it all together till you got on the water. You took a few steps and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm walking on water. He should have said this. Hey, Jesus has got me on water and I'm walking all right out to Him. But He said, I am walking on water now. And he began to sink. But the man of God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Rabboni, the teacher, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, walked over to him, reached down and picked up that heavy big man and carried him and put him on the boat. Never rebuked him. Never said, "You kind of took it away from me, buddy. That was my glory time, and you said I, so sink." No, he didn't do that. He was there for them. You see, when you start to sink, because I know you want to walk on water, and I'm sure spiritually some of you have walked on water, but all of a sudden you start to sink. Amen. I was preaching a revival when I was a young preacher, you know. And those are the days where I got a little bit more excited than I do now. But I was preaching away and I said, I'm going to walk right off the stage. I'm going to walk right on the air all the way to the front row. And I started to go like this and the Holy Spirit said, "I didn't tell you to do that. I want to step back like this." It was like a move I was going to make. I was about to step right off and fall right on my face. But I wanted to say that to happen, but it wasn't what God had planned. Amen. It's just we have to understand that when God calls us into something, there is something that we cannot see. We need to move by faith in it because God will bring us through with faith. By faith and in faith in Jesus Christ. Stage 3, the birthing or the active stage. presently witnessing faith producing fruit of God's word. All of a sudden, Moses lifts up his hand. And then they, all 2.5 million, there's a lot of folks there. I mean, you get so many different numbers when you read different people. You know, I think they just draw numbers and say, hey, we'll throw that out there and let everybody believe there's heaven. There was a lot of folk. A lot of folks. A lot of people. Children. Older people. Elderly. Babies. Pregnant mothers. Young teenagers. All the generations there. Saw to witness something that they have never seen before. Now, I have a little bit of a difficult time with that because the angel of the Lord led them out. And the angel of the Lord was there with them. And when they began to complain, and Moses finally did what he was supposed to do, move in faith. Now hear me, you're that Moses. You're that person. When you begin to do what God wants you to do and what you know to do because He's already spoke to you to do it, the angel of the Lord leaves your side and He goes to the rearward to protect you because God's got you going forward into Him and He's blocking the enemy from coming after you. Is anybody with me today? I know it's cloudy out. I know we had a great sunny week. I know that it's been raining for 3 days, I believe. At least in Boulder Creek it has. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's sunny today in my heart. Because I trust God for your life. I trust God for your future. I trust God for my future, my family's future. I trust God for my grandchildren's future. I trust God for healing. I trust God for the miraculous. I will tell you a testimony right now because many of you don't know this. I've got a nerve problem in my face. It's horrible. I don't take any medication for it anymore because it got in my way of thinking. You know, I started to become unable to remember names, unable to respond as quickly as I did. I got rid of it. I said, I'm not taking this any longer. I looked into some other medications because I thought, well, maybe I'll take some other medications and it won't be as weird. The doctor said, if you take this one, you're going to get weirder. And if you want to take that one, you're going to be the weirdest. So I said, I'm not going to take them anymore at all. This is the testimony that I'm here to say to you. Listen to this testimony. I was struck with a nerve problem, which they've changed it from being trigeminal neuralgia now because of the miraculous that's happening, to just a nerve problem in my face. But whenever I preach, whenever I walk into this holy desk area, it disappears. There's no pain there now. There's nothing there. It disappears. And then when I come back to the chair or I start walking away, it shows up again. His grace is sufficient. Amen. I have to do presentations to people that are I call them unanointed presentations. You know. And basically when I'm doing these presentations, this pain happens. And I've got to get through the presentation pretty fast because it starts taking my thoughts away from the person being presented to. And I become a concerned presenter. But when I'm in the gospel of Jesus Christ preaching, it goes away. I tell the doctors that and they go, my God, are you serious? I said, yes, I am so serious. I could be, and driving down the road when I first got this nerve problem, I'd be driving down the road talking to my friends on the phone and ministers and trying to do counseling on the phone as I'm driving. And all of a sudden, it started hurting and I could hardly talk and things. I had to explain that I'm okay. I just said, the pain sometimes can be really rough. But I'm going to tell you something. I told them, but every time I get in the pulpit to speak the word of God into God's people, it goes away. Amen. Someone say there's a God in heaven. Amen. What the devil may have caused for evil, God will use to bring glory His name. Witnessing faith. Having a witnessing faith. And then lastly, when they began to see those things happen, it was a result stage. A result stage. Now listen to this result stage. This is very important you hear this. Rejoicing on the other side of the believing. That's the result stage. The song and dance or worship or amazement stage. That which they did in Exodus 15. But here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you today through all that I just said. A statement, a question. Something that you need to face because it's going to help your faith. What stage are you in today? What stage are you in today? Where God wants you to be today is on the result stage. He wants you to be on the other side before you get there in your spirit, rejoicing and praising. He wants you to be there in the birthing area. He wants you to be there praising God on the other side. He wants you to be there in every area that has happened. He wants you to be there knowing that through that, that the planting stage and the testing stage, He wants you to still be on the other side there, rejoicing and singing and dancing. Now you see, before the crossing, they were complaining. Before the crossing, there was this testing. Before the crossing, there was this planning. But yet, on the other side, as soon as they broke out the tambourines, they began to dance the dance before God and rejoice for Him. God is saying to the New Testament church, I have shown you. I have given you a book. I have explained to you who I am. I am present in your life. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Live on the other side of the shore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Bringing all your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving unto Him. Praise God. You see, we have to look of where we're at and what we're doing and how's it going. The funny thing about life is that we forget that Jesus walked on this earth. And He lived in the rejoicing stage. No matter what happened, He was already on the other side. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Him, no matter what you're going through today, I say to you in the name of Jesus, look to Jesus. No matter what seems impossible to you, I say to you, is anything too hard for the Lord? I say to you, who do you belong to? You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved your soul. He gave His life for you. He's covered you with His blood. He's filled you with His Holy Ghost. But Pastor, it looks so impossible. I don't know if it can ever work. Is anything too difficult for the Lord?
No.
There's a journey that we're on, a journey of faith, a journey that says you can make it. And Jesus took His disciples through every one of those stages. And I behoove you to study the life of these disciples as they walk with Jesus. He took them through these stages. And even when they tried to stop Him from going where He needed to be, He said, get behind me, because I'm going forward. Nothing's holding me back. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing, because I can do all things through Christ Jesus, because I am on a journey of faith.